I have to see Sing 2 again.
Oh, you gotta watch it.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. You know, it's better than half of the Disney shit I've seen recently. So
Disney's been trash. Yeah. All right, welcome to another episode of Season 4 of Three and a Half Gentlemen, the podcast, where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections, and one of us tries desperately to keep up. We'll let you decide which host is which, but for now, my name is Sean, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Jeremiah.
Peaches, yo. Peaches.
Oh, that's what I was going
to Eddie.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
And Brandon.
Peaches. Jeremiah took mine. I was actually going to bring in a quote. Too,
so. Let me do this. What up, yo?
What up, yo? There you go.
It's me, Mario. Okay, Eddie.
Okay, guys. Well, with season four, we're picking movies that we think will be fun to talk about. Some of these will be from our private collections, while others, like tonight's pick, will be new releases in theaters.
Nice. As with every review we give, our goal is to answer one simple question. How many drinks does it take to get through the film that we just watched? Now, at the end of the podcast, we'll rate the movie based on a scale of 0 to 5, 0 being the perfect film that you could watch stone cold sober, and 5 being sort of the film that makes you feel like you got trapped in a video game world being forced to eat mushrooms after mushrooms after mushrooms, which doesn't sound that bad.
Well, maybe you're having the right types of mushrooms.
Are we doing Super Mario or doing Tron?
Doing Pineapple Express?
It's kind of true. So,
yeah. I don't know. Anything that makes me stronger and bigger and makes me like 5'10", I'm totally fine with that and shit.
Damn it. with that, what movie do we have jumping over Goombas to get us into tonight, gentlemen?
Goombas. Like that.
Isn't that the word, right?
That's Goomba? Goombas.
No, that's what they Goomba. Are.
Google had Goomba. To, I did have to check with Google to make sure.
Well, Google, you know, Google is the all, end all be all to, right. to, you know, characters. So, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I even got a picture reference, so it's all good. Anyway, tonight we have this year's smash breakout hit, the Super Mario Brothers movie, not to be confused with the live action Super Mario Brothers movie, which, by the way, before we get into it, has anybody actually seen the original?
Absolutely, yes, I've yeah. seen it. Yeah, was it Bob Hoskins?
Yeah, Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo. Was
Mario.
Yeah, John
and Leguizamo, who's always terrible, was Luigi.
And Dennis Hopper.
And the Goombas in that movie were freaking huge.
Yep.
And they were like massive.
And they also had trench coats.
See, yeah, they did. Everyone had a trench coat. It was very Dick Tracy.
I'll admit, I've not seen that, and I don't think I ever will. So.
Don't waste your time. You're good.
All right. Well,
you're missing out.
Yes, watch Halloween.
Watch it tonight.
Speaking of the animated one, this movie follows the titular plumber, Mario, and his green brother, Luigi, as they accidentally stumble onto the Mushroom Kingdom, where they must work together with Princess Peach, Donkey Kong, and many other Nintendo favorites to save the world from the love-struck Bowser. The Super Mario Brothers movie has a fantastic cast of voice actors here, from Chris Pratt to Anya Taylor-Joy to Jack Black. Has a
Where's Charlie Day?
Where's Charlie Day, yo?
I said among many others, so there.
Seth Rogen?
So it also has
Seth
Charlie
Rogen?
Day. It
I
has
mean,
Seth,
my God.
Seth Rogen. It has...
Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, there we go. Listen, the movie has earned an IMDb rating of 7.3 as of recording and has a divisive Rotten Tomato score of 59% for the critics and an audience score of 96%. Again, this is as of recording. I'm sure it'll change around a little bit.
I believe that says and an audience.
Why
score.
Do you think it's 59?
I like my. Listen, Sean, you saved yourself with a almost mistake from you. I saved myself.
Yeah. So I can tell you why it's 59%, because it's not this ultra woke. It's a movie you can enjoy for 2 hours, and everyone's delightful, and it's got a delightful plot and delightful characters, and everything's fun and nice and pretty. Yeah. And that's just what critics fucking hate.
It was a great podcast, guys. See you guys next week.
What's so fucking great about that is that they were trying to fucking like smear this fucking movie, and guess what? Fucking $1 billion later, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's it didn't what I'm saying, work. Dude. No. You know, this is one of those movies that just like I'm with you, Ed. You're looking at the 59%. You're like, what is wrong with critics? It's like they're just looking for something to. They're looking for something to find wrong with
kinda
it.
Like us.
And it's like
sometimes.
And I remember the whole. Yeah, you know what? You're right. But I remember the whole criticism of the beginning before anyone had seen it. It's like, well, Mario's an Italian plumber. Chris Pratt is not an Italian plumber. Yeah. So how could he possibly play Mario? And it's like, well, you know what? Turns out he played it just delightfully. Yes.
And so did the original Mario guy, too. Was his name Charles?
He was in it.
He was fucking great.
Anyway, so as with every movie we review, we try to pair that selection with a drink that will that we feel will emphasize the viewing experience. So, Ed, what drink do we have this evening?
Tonight, we're enjoying the Rainbow Road Cocktail, brought to us from the Secret of the Booze YouTube channel. To make this, you'll need a tall glass of ice. Next, you'll need to pour a 1/2 ounce of grenadine in the cup, then 1 ounce of silver rum, 1 ounce of grapefruit juice on top of that, next 1 ounce of orange juice, add a splash of more rum. God, then you'll need to add 1 ounce of Kool-Aid, berry burst. That's amazing. Maybe 2 ounces if you really want to do it crazy. And then top it off with some more rum. Enjoy the movie, the race, the podcast, whatever it may be, while you drink this colorful and delicious cocktail.
So I believe Jeremiah has the cocktail right now in his glass. We didn't all get the recipe in time, but Jeremiah, go ahead and give us a taste test of this wonderful cocktail.
I'll see you at Rainbow Row, bitch.
and
sweetness.
Snuff.
Sweetness is like too sweet.
Enough Kool-Aid in it.
Yeah, you know, it's just a little ounce of diabetes and shit on top of that, you know, it's fine.
It's actually pronounced diabetes.
I love Kool-Aid. You can have Kool-Aid any time of the day. You can have Kool-Aid any time of the day.
This brings me back to the 90s. This movie brings me back to the 90s. Let's go into this review, man.
All right, let's start with the characters and the overblown commercial that Mario and Luigi have produced in order to solicit business on the home world, wherever they are. They're actually like, they're working really hard. They broke away as plumbers. I actually really loved this first part where they kind of weren't these successful big league plumbers. They were just kind of brothers depending on each other who had this huge family coming home. Like I got this like real homey vibe from the little first stanza of this movie, and it made me kind of smile.
Yeah. No, one of the things that I love is that when we think of Mario, we've got that it's-a me, that right, we got that voice down, and this was a brilliant way for them to keep that voice that we've kind of, it's become iconic, but then to allow for the movie not to have that voice. Like, could you imagine Chris Pratt going through the entire movie with that stereotypical attack?
Wouldn't work.
But what I love about it is that they make fun of it, right? They have the family making fun of, like, what kind of voice is that? And what I think is so good about this is that it's such a self-aware movie that it realizes that it's poking fun at itself because it has to poke fun at itself. And I think that that's what makes the whole movie, you know, kind of move from a kid's movie into more of an adult movie that you know, adults can enjoy. And I mean, and Shrek, I think, is one that we can tip our cap to for doing that originally.
And I will say it's nice to have a titular character who isn't a hero. So Chris Pratt has played Star-Lord. He's played, you know, Owen in the Lord of the Rings, the Jurassic World series. Mm-hmm. He's always this like super strong, super confident hero. And in this, it's like he's just a guy. He's just a plumber. He's trying his best. And that to me is such an appealing quote unquote hero for the movie.
I think this movie is just not for like Super Mario Brothers, you know, fans, but I think it's for like video game fans, and I think it's just for like Nintendo lovers throughout the whole world. I mean, this whole movie is a fucking Easter egg. I mean, it's just like so much. You're just like, holy shit. Like the kid of me, 9 years old, was just smiling the whole time. Like, oh my God, there's that fucking, there's Punch Out, Mike Tyson's Punch Out right there. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, there's the regular jumper of like Donkey Kong over there, you know? I mean, I'm just gonna say, man, Jack Black fucking owned the voice of Bowser, dude. He's just fucking amazing in this one. What do you guys think?
Okay, so I was shocked that it was Jack Black. Like, I knew it was Jack Black, but he altered his voice in such a way that it didn't sound like Jack Black, which to me is weird because Jack Black is always Jack Black. And I mean, I love that guy. I'll watch anything the guy's in. But I was really surprised that it didn't sound like him.
No, you're right. Yeah.
His background of his character was something that surprised me. I never thought, like, I was thinking, like, how are you going to spin it off of Bowser just, like, not liking Mario and Luigi and Peaches? And I never thought, like, oh, he's just in love with Peaches. Like he wants to be married to Peaches. Like I never thought of it that way. I don't know if that's how it is in the game, video games, any of it. This is the first time I ever heard of him in love with Peaches. Like I was made me like, oh, it kind of works and it works really well and it's funny and it clicks. I liked it.
He always kidnapped Peaches.
He's always kidnapped,
like that, right? Kidnapped Peaches.
Yeah, Bowser always kidnapped Princess Peach, and then the plumbers would have to go save him. But this movie subverted expectations from the very beginning by changing the narrative. Yes. And they changed the narrative in a way that I thought was just brilliant. Number one, with the voice, right? So they took an iconic voice and then just went, nope, we're not going to give it to you for the whole movie. We're only going to give you just a moment of it. And it's perfect. And we're going to make Bowser not this evil villain trying to take over, you know, the world. He's trying to impress the girl of his dreams. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's doing it poorly because he's taking literally like, you know, destroying kingdoms and shit and getting the star for her. But that was, I mean, he's
noble.
Trying to play the game. He's trying to, he's noble. He's a noble quest. And the visuals of
his heart was in the right place.
It was. The visuals of his fucking castle coming across the screen.
Badass.
And the lava coming down.
Badass.
And then you have that, the my favorite freaking society, which is a little penguin people.
Oh,
and
gosh.
He comes and you've got this like little penguin and he's gonna. it was just classic. It was great.
No, that is my favorite scene. And, you know, you see it coming the whole time, but they, you know, we're gonna unleash our weapons or whatever. And you just see this barrage of slow motion. And then they pull back and it's just Bowser just bouncing off him. I mean, to me, that's the kind of humor that I'm like rolling in the aisle in the theater on. But this movie is full of those moments, right? It's kind of sketchy in the sense that we have little sketches of comedy, but then they piece it together in really, really good, well, I don't know, formed way.
Well, it's paced well, yeah.
It is.
Even in how it's shot like you're playing a fucking video game. Yep. Mm-hmm. The moment when Mario and Luigi are trying to get to their client or something like that, mm-hmm. it's shot in a really cool way. And then, like, when Mario is trying to like, you know, show Peach, like, yo, I can actually get through this round or whatever to prove it to you, it's straight out of a fucking game, and it's so great. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, like, this is exactly what we had in mind in a way, yeah. Just like – a little throwback to like how what we used to play back in the day.
Yeah, this was all the way down to Nintendo with the Mario's 1, 2, and 3, and then back to Nintendo 64 with Super Mario Brothers, right? With
yeah.
that one, with
yeah. Mario Kart.
Wasn't there like a Galaxy 2, Mario Galaxy, mm-hmm. Mario Kart? Yeah.
There's also NES, Super Nintendo, where it was another Mario. So there was so many different, every like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and also Nintendo 64. There was so many different ones. Because I was going to say, when Luigi went to the mansion, they set themselves up so nicely for, and there's a video game that's Luigi's Mansion. Like this is like, it was like, they set themselves up for like a movie soon with Luigi. And it was beautifully set.
I would pay so much money to go see that movie.
It was so scary.
I wish I could see more of
that. Scared my kids to it, but it was like, they were on the edge of their seat and they loved
those.
It.
Those skeleton guys that just like kind of came back. Like those were freak. Those were,
but those remind me of playing the game.
I remember those from the game. Yeah. I remember.
Yep.
It was so nostalgic of playing the stupid game where you hit the head and the mushroom pops out. But Brandon, we played a game. What was the game that we played where they do the swoo? And I even saw like that referenced in this movie. Like it was almost like what Jeremiah is saying. It's a love letter to everyone who's played any Mario game throughout the course of
Mario Kart.
You know, the 25 years.
Yeah, no, I mean Sean
what
do
we play?
Yeah, Sean would come over to my house and I think Sawyer was he was like 2 or 3 at the time, and so he would just sit and watch us play video games. And we got to the little pig checkpoint.
Yeah.
Sean would always be like, "That's a pig, Mr. Pig." and Sawyer still talks about that to this day. But no, I think it was Donkey Kong Kingdom, and it was the fucking hardest game to play, and we were terrible at it, but God, it was so
No, that
fun.
Was the second one. We were No.
Oh, no.
That was the second one we played. We played a Mario game where they spun.
Yeah, Super Mario on Wii. It was Super Mario, the red box, and holy shit.
Okay.
It was so great.
Let me ask you a question. This is a random question for our listeners, okay? What was your favorite Super Mario Brothers game? Now, think about all the fucking consoles that you had back in the day. What was the one that sticks out to you? Sean, go.
Yeah, Nintendo Super Mario Brothers 3, where you had the fucking raccoon tail or whatever it was, and you had. Although I do love 2, where Peach could float. Mm-hmm. That one was a really good one too. But number 3 for me was the best. And then if you're gonna go like the best game player, Mario Kart was.
I'm going to go with Mario Kart.
Oh, God. What about Super Smash? Super Smash Brothers! Mm-hmm. Super Smash Brothers!
That was the whole Donkey Kong and Mario when they were facing off. It had the Super Smash Brother vibe of like.
Oh, I love Link. Mm.
Yeah. Brandon, what's your favorite?
I'm gonna go with Mario Kart. I remember I didn't have N64 growing up, but my friend did. And I mean, I'm sure he was pissed every time I came over because I was always like, no, we're not playing GoldenEye. We're not playing any of the others. We're going to play Mario Kart. And we would play for hours. And then the battle, right? The battle. And so for me, Sean, you're talking about, and Jeremiah, you're talking about like kind of this nostalgic feeling. When they get on Rainbow Road and that whole sequence, that they could have made an entire movie set on Rainbow Road. I would have watched it. I would have enjoyed it. But that was the nostalgic moment for me.
Was anyone else going, oh my God, look what they could do. They could go underwater in Mario 3. They could go to the desert. They could go. There was so many great. There were so many great levels within
so
Mario.
Many kingdoms I'm like, that we saw in this movie.
We have six or seven movies right there. Like Yoshi, the Egyptian Yoshi which we'll talk about later. Yoshi,
Bro, what was your favorite Super Mario Brothers movie game?
I mean, it's really hard. Different aspects of my life where, I mean, it's hard to say. Nintendo, the original Nintendo, like part three was probably the favorite when it was, you had the raccoon tail and that's when you actually got to, you go through it and then you had the map. Like it was a cool map. I always wanted to love going through the same levels with the map. Like it was amazing how
eight
they
levels. Had, yeah. Yeah.
I think they originally, because of that, I think that game was in the movie called, oh God! It was if the Game Gear or was it the glove? It was it's old school movie, and then you saw the game. That's the first time I had the game.
Oh, it's called Wizard.
Wizard, fuck yeah! I would say there's that game, and then if I have to a second place would be N64, Mario Land, or it was a Super Mario Brothers, just the first one that I think that came out with the N64, right? Like it came out at the same time.
Or I think it came with the 64-bit in the Super Mario 64, and that was just a fucking game changer. Yeah. That's one of my favorites, but I think 3D. Mine had to be Super Mario World. Shit, you got to ride Yoshi, and you got to like swallow fucking people.
Oh, so yeah. I've never actually played that game.
Mario Party? You guys ever play Mario Party?
We should do a Mario Party. We should do a Mario Party, though.
Oh, dude, that would be fucking
on the Switch, bro. Mario Party on the Switch.
Yeah. But yeah, honestly, Mario Kart's the shit. And when we saw Rainbow Road in this movie... Fuck, dude, you're right. That was like the best part of this whole fucking movie. I just couldn't stop smiling. Dude, they even did the shortcut.
Yeah.
They did the shortcut in the movie, dude.
Yeah.
How fucking cool was that?
Where can you play these games is my question. Because,
the Switch.
You know, N64 is dead. So what is this Switch? Like, I've heard about the Switch. Like, what is it?
It's like part Game Boy, for me part Nintendo. Simply?
Yep.
Because I'm not doing anything down here.
But you could.
I went to the eye doctor this morning.
So this one you could travel. It's like a traveling Game Boy that you can hook up to your TV and you play.
It looks great.
It looks great. You can't be told. I have it to my TV all the time. And I just play like a regular system. And then if we're on the road, it's like you could detach it from the console and you can carry it with you handheld. And it's really legit.
Yeah. So, Sean, do you know what that means? That means that you don't have to turn off your TV and pause it at the same time. Then go back tomorrow, the next day, and play the game again. And a positive.
I can take it to bed with
you. You ever done that when you were little?
All the games, Mario Kart. And this time with Mario Kart, it's like at the Wii. So you actually have like
a little bit of a steering wheel.
You can actually drive, yeah.
So, because I miss James Bond. I miss Slappers Only. I miss GoldenEye. Like, I miss all that shit. I miss those games that were about our childhood.
Yeah. So, Sean's like, I miss fucking having, you know, pizza rolls and drinking Mountain Dew and staying up all night and playing my video games.
Yeah.
I do.
We all miss that.
Listen, Sean, you get an N64.
We'll have a sleepover.
Who played Toad?
Toad, I believe, was played by Keegan-Michael Key. So, as Mario enters the
Kingdom, Mushroom
level
Kingdom.
Level 1,
the Mushroom Kingdom. which is funny because it's like he hates mushrooms, so anyway, it doesn't matter. You've got Toad, who I think is an underserved character in this movie a little bit. I think Keegan-Michael Key, I didn't even recognize his voice. Like, he didn't really make any funny jokes. Like, he just kind of got him to the princess, and I think he was wasted a little bit, and I don't mean to criticize the movie because I enjoyed it, but he was not my favorite part.
I wish it was more Luigi. I mean, you only got to see when he got captured and all most of the time. And I was enjoying every fucking scene when, you know, like when you hear Charlie Day's voice.
Charlie Day's special.
He just plays. He is, man.
He really is.
He's just fantastic. But I just, I enjoy, I just wish I saw that movie too at the same time because I was just enjoying the shit out of it.
So I think for most of the characters besides Mario, everyone wanted something of extra. But then they wrapped up so much into one movie. It was like they should have done extra for everyone. And I think today Luigi, Toad, why not bring Yoshi in? Why not bring some of the more Koopas, like Bowser's little son? I think he had a son or like baby Bowser. Like I was waiting for that to come out.
We were waiting because he had like seven sons or something like that in Super Mario Brothers 3.
I was waiting for Wario. Yeah, like Mario's like
I think Wario's the coming.
Yeah, they're the little bosses, aren't they? I totally forgot that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of room for growth and for sequels for sure.
Yeah.
And given the movie that made $1 billion, it's coming. These movies are coming.
It's funny that I think the most of the watchers are probably us.
Us? You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just us, but it's also, you know, our children and the other generation, because everyone has grown up with Nintendo.
Yeah.
Everyone's grown up with Super Mario Brothers in their lifetime in the 90s, 2000s, and the 2010s. And like, it's a part of your life when you think about it.
My niece is in high school, and she's probably a junior in high school, and she begged my mom to go take her to see this.
That's awesome.
And
that's good
she loved it. She just freaking loved it. Like, so I think it's not the demographic you might think. I think
did anyone's
everyone
parents watch this? How about that? Because I'm thinking, does it stop at us?
My mom loved it.
Okay. Here's something that I think this kind of captures the importance or the revolutionary aspect of Nintendo. I remember when I was 5 years old, or I guess I was four or five, and my dad won an original, you know, OG Nintendo system before it came out. He won it through his work. Okay, so he brought home this Nintendo system.
Okay,
I was that kid. I won on a raffle. That's what we lived on for. But anyway, he brought it home and he's like, "Here's this video game." And we didn't have any of the fucking Atari shit. Like, I didn't know what a video game was to save my life. He plugged it in.
Oh, Brandon, hold on. You're talking to the guy who got freaking almost had to have Tommy John because he played Guitar Hero for an entire summer.
There's
Don't pretend.
I was 4 or 5 against Brandon.
I was 4 or 5.
Don't play Guitar Hero against Brandon.
I will shred on you. I will shred. Anyway, when I was 4 or 5. So when I was 5. Okay, he brought this thing home, and we set it up, and that was our ritual every night for an hour to an hour and a half. My mom would sit on the couch, my dad and me would sit in front of the TV, and we would take turns playing, and then we would lose. And I remember, we still talk about this, when we found that hidden, you jump over the top and you go find the tubes to automatically go to level 2, 3, and 4.
The pipes.
And I remember getting up as a little 5-year-old and running around the house screaming because I was so excited about that. And my parents, so when they saw this movie come out, they went and saw it because of that nostalgic kind of moment of being a parent to a kid who loved Mario. And I think that, so you're talking about the demographic. Oh. It's so wide reaching. It really is.
Well, I want to say my dad was really, because this was a movie that he was going to watch with my kids, you know, with my boys, because my daughter's too young. And he was so upset that I took them myself because he was so looking forward to watching this movie. So, I agree with that, Brandon. I was like, I think our dad,
our
Jeremy
parents
and I, we
care about it.
He loved, he played this Mario just as much as us when we were younger. Yeah. So
Nintendo changed our lives. I mean, that brought everything together.
My sisters were obsessed with The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, I never played Zelda.
Link. And
movie's coming out.
I never did
movie's
either. But no, so no, a new video game is coming out. A new Legend of Zelda video game is hitting, and I'm so excited to see it. See how it does, because I really want to get into that again. I feel like we're missing out.
Have you not heard about it, dude? It's like it's got like the best ratings of any video game. It has that vibe, like, you know, Red Dead Redemption. You ever play that cowboy game, you know, on PlayStation? Well, imagine that, but you're Zelda and you're Link, and you're like, you know, going traveling to land and stuff like that. It's pretty fucking badass. And that's my next question. What do you think Nintendo should do for their next movie? Because obviously, because of the success, what do you want to see its next movie for? Another
Super Mario Brothers, and say something.
Or something else.
So Nintendo is going to compete with Marvel from here on out, like with movies. Yes, just hear me out. You have
a universe.
You have people that like do this movie. They have 10 movies lined up so quickly. Like you have Zelda, you have Star Fox, you have GoldenEye, you have like
Firefox, Star Fox or Firefox. Star Fox.
There was a reference in this movie of Star Fox in Mario's room.
That was the ships, right? The ships. Yeah. And you could love that.
I just think personally that Nintendo, if they play their cards right, they could be the Nets. Nets theme. Nintendo movies coming out very quickly.
I'm going to answer with Donkey Kong. I want, and I'm not a Seth Rogen fanatic. Yes. I like him, but God damn it, wasn't he great in as Donkey Kong? I mean, and so then you bring in Diddy Kong, who they dangled, right? They dangled that little carrot. I want to see a Donkey Kong movie. I think that would succeed so well.
I love Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. I thought Donkey Kong in this movie was fabulous, but it was almost exactly the right amount of Donkey Kong. I would much rather see Luigi movie.
Yeah.
I'd much rather see a Wario Yoshi. Or an evil Luigi, Waluigi. Or I would like to see. I mean, honestly, I would like to see more of the world. Right. Yeah, I'd like to see them. Maybe they're just going into different levels and just exploring. Yeah, I'd love to see the world.
Well, we need to see Yoshi.
We talked about this with Constantine or the John Wick movies. I said I wanted to explore the world, and now we're gonna get like an expansion of those John Wick movies in a way that we never thought we'd get. I want now to see this world. I want to see all aspects of the world. The good, the bad, the ugly. I want to see underwater. I don't care if they have to create
them. Seriously.
I want to see them. I want to see what's going on.
I'm really hoping that they're going to do some type of a Zelda thing, years from now. I don't want them to rush it because I think it would be really fucking cool for that, like as an adventure. But I don't know if it's going to do that well as what Mario is, That's just me being like, selfish. Or maybe do Mega Man or fucking do Ninja Gaiden. These are the fucking games.
Why not do like a Mario Kart, like a racing movie? Like that'd be kind of cool. I'd be down to see that fucking shit.
Take all the best fucking characters and make a Super Smash Brothers battle to the death royale where they have to escape.
Like they're all trapped.
I love how you went to a Bloodsport, Jean-Claude Van Damme, in this the setting here.
I've never played Zelda in my life, and I feel like I'm missing out right now.
It has a really good score.
It's pretty magical, man, but it's pretty like, it's like,
I don't know where to start.
It's gone to somewhere where I'm like, holy shit, I can't even go near it because it's fucking way out there.
I've missed too much already. So it's like, where do I start now? So I don't know where to jump in anymore.
Fuck it, guys. Let's just go GoldenEye. Let's just fucking do GoldenEye. Let's make a movie of GoldenEye. Just a first person
shooter.
That's how it started. Right?
Could you imagine that, the whole thing? Well, they tried doing that.
There was a movie called, I want to say it was Dread, or it was a Carl Urban movie, and there was like 30 minutes of the movie where he was first person like killing shit, and I'm like, no,
video game version,
that was not Dread. Like, I know what movie you're talking about. You're talking about Doom. That was Doom. With The Rock, and it was just like really fucking bad and horrible. But you're right, it was like the shooting fucking experience.
This is a movie.
It was too much.
Sean, you keep dangling the carrot of Yoshi. Let's talk about Yoshi because I thought seeing him was great.
So,
but we didn't get enough Yoshi.
No. So Yoshi, you never saw Yoshi. Yoshi's people. You saw Yoshi's people. Now, at the wedding, if you notice, one of the guests delivered an egg.
That's right.
You didn't see the fucking post-credit sequence?
Yes.
And the egg was at the wedding. And then when it got sucked into Mario's real world, the post-credit sequence, if you will, showed the egg in fucking like down in the sewer.
And in New York.
You're going to see the most rare green Yoshi come, and he will be prominent in the next movie. The question is, who's going to voice him? You get someone crazy, like Robert Downey Jr. or Johnny Depp, because he's not going to say very much, and he only has like two lines,
it's
right?
It's going to be the Vin Diesel of the group.
See, this is why you don't go to movies with a three-year-old, because as soon as the movie was over, we're like, we got to go. I missed the entire post-credit sequence.
This was a hit and miss for me here. I thought the soundtrack, not going to do this, the score was pretty badass, because they were doing like a lot of like fucking themes of Super Mario Brothers, and just, you're like, oh, that's from like 64-bit. Oh, that is from like the underground theme. Oh, that's from part three. I thought that was really cool how they were able to put that into the movie. I just wish they would have done a little more and build off of that, because, you know, it's a Universal film, so they're gonna throw every fucking, like, you know, song bank. We're gonna put some Beastie Boys. We're gonna put some
Aha. I actually really like the soundtrack.
Do you think we're asking?
I thought the music was great. Oh, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you think we're asking for just a little too much for an animated Mario movie? No, there, Jeremiah. Great.
No. See,
$1 billion movie.
My least favorite thing in the world is just like. Let's put like every AC/DC song in here. I know for a fact my nephews are going fucking apeshit for that one. Yes. You know, seriously, like, yes, oh my God, Thunderstruck. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Jacob stood up on his seat and just started like rocking that. I was like, sit down, bro.
Sit down, dude.
Yeah, we're going to get kicked out of a
movie. Act like you've been here before.
I just really like the score of the movie. I thought that was pretty cool.
We're halfway through the movie and Amanda leans over to me. She's like, we need to get the soundtrack. We need to buy the CD. And for her to say that is a big move, but I really thought that it captured kind of that fun energy, and I thought that it was a really, really good job. But the score, you're right, it was great.
Well, they threw all the 80s songs. They threw a lot of 80s songs, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Are you saying it was trying too hard, like Ready Player One status, like how it just every scene was just like bomb, like Super Mario Brothers was trying too hard?
Sometimes it's just like a movie that's just really good, that it doesn't really need to rely on that. And I know sometimes they just like, you know, they're just going to do it. And fine, you know, I'm going to be a schmuck. It's fucking cool too at the same time, because, you know, it's like, you know, fuck it. Who gives a shit? We're going to fucking just go balls to the walls in this fucking movie. You know? Yeah.
I was too much in the moment. This is the movie that you have to watch three different times. Just it's like, there's so much I missed. I missed so much because I was in the moment. I was enjoying it. I was like, I was 8 years old again with my two boys just smiling the whole time. They asked to go to the restroom. Like, no, you're not going to the restroom for another hour. So like,
sit down and shut up.
Here's some Mountain Dew.
You drank all your Slurpee.
So we were talking earlier about movies that we want from video games or from this type of thing. Now, I don't know if I dreamed it, if I read it, I have no idea where this came from, but a movie about the Ninja Turtles where all the Ninja Turtles have been killed one. And where did I read it? Because I want
Eddie. Did you?
I need this story in my life.
Eddie sent that, or Jeremiah? You sent it.
What, this Ninja Turtle goes out for revenge?
I sent it.
Is that what it is?
I don't know if it's a video game or if it's a movie that they're planning. It's one of the two.
Everyone dies, like Michelangelo, Donatello, Raphael, and then one of them is left. And like he's seeking vengeance on Shredder for the death of his brothers. And it's like, I just want to see this movie.
And the whole time you have no idea which one it is. And he carries all he has the nunchucks, the sword, stick, the claws. You have no idea. He carries every single one. So you have no idea which one it is out of all the brothers.
That one.
And you won't find out till like halfway through the game.
Oh, I mean, it would be cool if he was all of them, like in the shadows, like he would go out every night as a different to promote their like that they're still alive or something. I don't know.
Well, in his own way, he carries it all, and then like so he has no color. He's just like black. He carries like it's like he's almost like what's that character's name? It wasn't Hawkeye, but Hawkeye turns into someone. Ronan. It's like this Ninja Turtle becomes really dark and really bloody. It's going to be a bloody Ninja Turtle.
There is a new Ninja Turtles coming out that looks fairly good. So I'm kind of excited about that.
It looks good.
I'm still 1991.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but I'm sorry. But the old ones for me, like the old trilogy, the OG trilogy. I still can watch those and enjoy them.
Secret of the Ooze is a fucking classic.
And then they go back to Japan. That like great. That one was badass too. I don't know what it was about that. Vanilla Ice
into our living rooms, and they did it beautifully.
I mean, we keep talking about Rainbow Road, dude, but I think this is the best part of the movie. That's just my opinion because like it also became like Mad Max. I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yes.
This is badass. This is fucking great.
Oh, dude, I love
that. Koopa, it was Koopa that was driving the Koopa driving like the big like snow plow. This just and like all of a sudden he got this like anger in his eyes. It's like, oh, this is just he's trying to
dude, got the old dart. The banana peels and the tortoise shells, you know, flying everywhere. I'm just
and
like
the blue shell that gets oh my god. I was sold. I remember you get out in front of that fucking game and you'd be like, oh man, I got it. Then you hear
the background. Shit.
No, get in the second place. No.
Always hate the fucking squid. Squidding. Squid that shit put shit in your face, man, on your screen.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Or I hate it when they made you small. I hate it when they made you small. It was like, fucking A, bro. How long is this going to be?
I'm telling you, that fucking game, I could never get my sister to play video games. And we used to play that for hours. And the balloons, the three balloons you had, and you Battle Royale, we used to play that shit for hours. That was fantastic.
I know Rainbow Road is like the shit, you know, like it's like legendary, man. But hopefully next movie they decide to do like you know the whole haunted house thing where like those bricks are everywhere
that
would be badass if every movie they have like a certain like track they have to follow or something like that.
So along with Rambo Road, one of my favorite parts, and it was for humor purposes only, but I thought it was so funny and so well done, is the Mario training sequence where you think that he's going to get it right the first time and then Peach falls asleep and it's overnight and I'm trying to think, did they have the Eye of the Tiger playing? I can't remember if they had that playing or not, but like for whatever
they had I Need a Hero.
That's one of my top 10 favorite songs ever.
Footloose. But Jesus, Footloose.
I don't know what it was about that sequence, but
that's Flashdance.
Is it Footloose?
Wait, I Need a Hero is not Footloose. Footloose.
No, that song we actually debuted in Footloose when they were actually racing each other with the tractors and shit like that. And Kevin Bacon's trying to jump off the tractor. It's, you know, it's like a chicken game and shit. And that song.
All right.
You need to watch
it. I need to watch that movie again because the movie that song comes from for me is Bandits. Yes. When she's singing in the kitchen. She's going crazy in the kitchen.
There's that one, but there's also then Shrek 3, I think it is, or 2, where the fairy godmother sings it. Anybody? No. Anyway, the training sequence was fantastic.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
That was a good scene of Shrek. That's probably one of the best scenes for Shrek. So I was pumped up.
Does anyone have any criticism of this movie? Because I thought that the fact that Bowser, I mean,
it went quick, you know. All of a sudden, you're just like, "Hey, Beach, how you doing? Okay, we're gonna go rescue my brothers. Okay, we're going to this," and it just, you know, it's just like. It's like there's no fucking development. They just went to one scene but you just went for the ride. I mean, that, you know, it's a kids movie when you think about it, you know. I mean, you're not looking for fucking, like, you know, I don't know, you know, No Country for All Men type of shit to it, you know.
I mean,
like,
it didn't have Toy Story 3 vibes where it was no emotional, you know, earth shattering and life changing. Yeah. Right.
It had Toy Story 1 vibes. It's the beginning of a whole new world. Like, just Toy Story 3. Yeah, Toy Story 3 was the end of an era, and I look at it as like it's the opening the door of a whole new world for all of us. So I do feel like it was fast in a lot of stories, like Luigi's story. Every time I wanted him on the screen, it just jumped off too quickly from him. I wish there was maybe more Mario and Luigi like fighting, and you got that at the very end where Luigi saves.
That was pretty dope.
With, like, he actually gets the courage to fight back with Mario, and that was pretty dope to see that. The whole star, you know, that star, what happens to them when they get the star.
Oh, that was great.
I mean, you saw that coming when they both took the star, and you're like, ah,
two criticisms. One, and we've talked about both of them, but one, I liked Luigi enough to want more of him. Nothing against Mario, nothing against Chris Pratt, but I love Charlie Day's portrayal of Luigi. And so, yeah, I think his character was wasted. I don't think Toad was, but I think Luigi was wasted. And two, I think it wrapped up a little bit quick. I think it wrapped up in a good way, but I think it wrapped up a little bit quick. But I do want to talk about the ending and how much I love the ending that they didn't stay in, you know, what am I trying to say? They live now in Mushroom Kingdom, right? That they came back to that and that became their home. So now they're you know, really utilizing that world and becoming part of it. I thought that was just a cool aspect of it.
Kind of, they realize their life there is equally better than where it was at. Like, they can go back anytime they want, but they are needed here in this world. And it's something that I feel like, I think that's why Peach, I like the idea of like Peach, like that's why she's staying there. She's like, why would I leave when this is all I've known? And this world is so much better than it didn't, it ended quickly to me in a weird way.
I do like the ending of it where, like, even Bowser's just looking at Mario like, you just don't know how to quit, or you just don't know when to say when, or whatever he said. And I actually like when he's like, you know, yeah, I get that a lot, you know. You get that vibe, like, you know, I'm just going to go for it no matter what. I'm going to do what I need to do. And kind of cool theme to take away from the film, you know. Like, you know what, shit, I can get pushed around. I can get fucking be the underdog all the time. But you know what? I'm still going to fucking keep going. I like that.
And that's kind of the character they set up at the very beginning where, you know, you got two down-and-out brothers that they're gonna succeed. They're gonna make this freaking plumbing service succeed, and they're gonna do everything they can to do it. And they're never gonna quit. I mean, we didn't even talk about the opening sequence where they're fixing the bathroom with that dog. I mean, that alone was freaking hysterical. Like, you had some really funny moments in this movie. So anyway,
watch out for those mushrooms.
So that's why, was he just on mushrooms the whole time? Did any of it happen? Was any of it real?
Wasn't that Superman brought this too, though? It was in his dream the whole time. Wasn't that fucking like the concept of that? Yeah, it's kind of fucking weird. I don't know.
I wonder if they're gonna start doing you know, you can always get like a life, a mushroom life with the green mushrooms instead of the red mushrooms.
Oh, that would be awesome. That was,
you know, it would be awesome. Ooh. To like, oh, he died, but he came back to life.
That's because already Player One.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. All right. You got me.
Gotcha. Got the tater.
And that brings us to the inner review. Now it's time in the podcast where each of the hosts provides a score on the following scale. Eddie, can you provide the scale, please?
I'm Louis. What is it? It's I'm a Mario, and then
God, it's me. You can do the Wario laugh, like.
I'm Luigi. All right, guys. Well, I'm not gonna go first. Give you guys a head up. I went first last time. But Zero, the perfect movie. You don't need shit to enjoy it. One, a feel good first cocktail. Two, a happy buzz. Three, on the Uber lifting home. Four, rough morning watch of shame. And five, blackout shit face spring break drunk. Gentlemen, let's start with Brandon with that new hot mic.
We got a hot mic.
Got a hot mic.
And a ring light. Okay.
You sound so good too. Oh,
thank you so much. You all look so good. And Eddie, I'm just so happy to see a smile on your face, especially after.
There's no delay. I'm so happy. I know. I'm so happy. There's no delay.
Oh man.
yeah, there's no delay.
Oh God. All right. So I'm gonna keep this brief, like I always say, but I'm actually gonna do it. Unlike you, Ed. So I think this movie is fantastic. I think that this is it's an experience to go with your kids and to sit in a movie theater with your kids. You know, we have taken the daughter, who's three now, to a couple different movies in theaters. And the most recent before this one was Sing 2. And I missed about 40 minutes of Sing 2 because I was out there calming her down because she just was like all over the place. And she sat there and she was laughing and she kept yelling, "That's so funny. That's so funny." And she loved Bowser. And just to see the excitement of her, to see the excitement that she has about characters that I grew up with already gives this movie a notch above some other movies. But not only that, this movie is just, it's just funny. It's cute. It's well-written. I know I keep saying Shrek, but it reminds me of Shrek where it caters to the young audience, but it also throws enough, you know, dangling jokes that adults can appreciate and laugh and love. I think that the writing was absolutely on point. I do think that there was the characters were great. Bowser, I wish that we got a little bit more about Bowser because, you know, you got Jack Black, utilize him even more. I mean, that annoying fucking Peaches song, it's there. That was what he's got. But guess what? Jack Black is such a freaking master.
Watch your mouth.
This is a backhanded compliment. He is such a master at what he does. I want to let him go and run peaches, wild with peaches, it. Peaches, we didn't even talk about peaches, Anya Taylor-Joy, peaches, who, you know, I haven't seen her in a ton of amazing stuff, but the stuff that I see her in is usually the indie stuff with, you know, the Eggers stuff.
What? The Queen's Gambit?
I didn't see her in Queen's Gambit, but I did see her in The Witch, which she is fucking amazing in. You know, some of the more indie stuff.
Yeah. You should watch Queen's Gambit. Queen's Gambit was legit. One.
You should watch. You should watch the North.
It's really good. It's worth sitting down for.
Listen, I thought that all of the characters did great. It wasn't until after the movie that I looked up who Mario was and saw Chris Pratt, and I was like, "Wow!" It wasn't until you hear that, that you realize, oh yeah, that was Chris Pratt. Because Amanda and I both thought that it was Mark Wahlberg, because he's got that little like Boston-ish accent going. Anyway, all that to say is this was an enjoyable hell movie. I can sit down and watch it. I'm looking forward to getting the Blu-ray and just popping in with the kids and just sitting down and enjoying it. Is it a perfect movie? Absolutely not. But guess what? It's better than most of the trash out there. And so for that, I'm giving it almost a don't need shit to enjoy it. But the reason that I want to have some shit to enjoy it is because I just want to enjoy it even more. So I'm giving it a 0.75. It's a high score, but you know what? In our world, we don't have enough quality movies like this coming out, and I think that we need to tip our cap to it. So 0.75 for this one for me. And let's go to Jeremiah, because I can see that he does not want to go as high as I did.
I'm on the same page, but man, you fucking went to like, you know, mushroom on top of mushroom.
You're on the fireball with the star.
I am.
Right now, you're on one.
I'm flying.
You're the
raccoon,
man, flying around. Yeah, my tail's on. This is a fun fucking ride of a movie, dude. It's a love letter to all the fans that love Super Mario Brothers, but it's also a love letter to like Nintendo fans and just video gamers throughout, man. I thought this movie was really fucking cool. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought every voice actor was fantastic in this movie. I saw some shit in this movie where I couldn't believe that they were able to, you know, do it in such a an amazing way. That Rainbow Rose scene is probably one of the best scenes I've seen all year, man, hands down. I just thought it was fucking amazing. I'm like sitting here with like Hannah and, you know, Danny. I'm like, dude, this is fucking dope. And so if a movie can do shit like that to you in this day and age and just like take you back into like when you're like 9 and just playing fucking video games, you know, and just having the smile on your face, then it did something fucking special, man. The music was great. I mean, the story, it rushed, you know, it was just trying to get to every like Easter egg point you can. But you know what? I like Easter eggs. I love the eggs and shit, you know, so I didn't have a problem with it. Yo, I can't wait for the next thing they're going to do, man. I will get the 4K Blu-ray here as well, because it's going to look fucking amazing, man. So this was an easy happy buzz film for me, man. This was a two drink for me, especially for an anime film. It's one of the better movies I've seen in a long time, you know. Yeah, I'm going to go with that, man. It's a tea drink for me. A happy buzz. Enjoy, yeah, guys. Eddie, go for it.
I'll keep it short, shorter than Brandon's. So everything about this movie just brought me back to that those childhood memories. Definitely go watch this movie. You're not going to be mad that you watched this movie. I was very, very surprised with how well everything matches. All the actresses and actors in this movie played an amazing part. Like, I don't think anyone could have been a better character for their role. Yes, we wanted more of certain people, maybe more of a lovey, you know, happy-go-lucky people with some I don't know, some jokes here and there. Sometimes they got serious, but I think it worked overall in the very end of it. They left all these open doors for other movies, like we talked about. It was honestly a movie that I'm going to go watch as soon as it goes on. What is it going on right now?
It's going to go on Peacock probably.
Yeah, I hope as soon as it goes on Peacock or HBO Max, whatever it is, I'm going to go watch it with my kids and just see all the little hidden gems I miss. It's that type of movie. Is it a perfect movie in my eyes? No. I do feel like the battle scene at the very end, it reminded me of like it was trying to do Angry Birds. I don't know if anyone watched Angry Birds. Mm-hmm. If no one's watched Angry Birds.
Yeah, I missed
that
one.
Angry Birds. I feel like Angry Birds did a good job with the battle scene with the piggies.
Yeah.
And this one, I feel like it was rushed at times with, I wanted to see more characters fighting at certain times, and it just wasn't, it didn't, like I said, it was rushed towards the end, towards that very end of the movie. But overall, soundtrack amazing. And I applaud them for it. I'm giving this very close to what Brandon gave. I'm giving this a 1. Mm. It's a 1 in my book. I liked it. I think it's very, very written as well, Sean.
So it's a feel-good, first shot tell.
It's a feel-good first shot tell. I'm going to have one drink.
So for me, this movie was from start to finish just enjoyable. And Brandon said it earlier, there are so few times, especially today, and I mean, I don't mean to bag on Hollywood, and actually I kind of do, make movies that we can go enjoy, have fun with. We sat in the theater, and it was enjoyable from start to finish. The characters were fun. The acting was fun. Everything about it was just fun. And I can't help but think of how cute it was. Brandon, you brought up a movie earlier, Lost City. Lost City was fun. There's so few and far between. How many movies do we have to sit through and struggle through to get to the ones that are just, you know, just good? And it, I think that it, what it does, it makes these movies even better than they ought to be. Because if you look at something like Shrek, which I believe that without Shrek, you don't have the tongue in cheek and pushing the envelope as much as you do.
Lord Farquaad.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch Shrek, Lord Farquaad with the gumdrop buttons, not my gumdrop buttons. Like, I mean, that whole scene, like the torturing of the gingerbread man, right? That's a funny, but also horrible. That movie gave you so much license to kind of attack other genres or other worlds with just as much reverence. Like we're gonna respect Mario. We're gonna show you all the different games. We're gonna show you all the different themes. We're gonna really give you, it's like a love letter to fans, but we're also gonna push the envelope and make it kind of funny and make it fun of itself and not take itself so seriously. I think that's unique, and so. This movie definitely it definitely could not have happened without something like Shrek, but it's nice to see a refreshing fucking fun movie. I don't know how else I can say it without just being, straightforward. This is the second time in as many months that I have been inundated with nostalgia. Picard season 3 of the Star Trek show had this wonderful sweeping culmination of a 25-year-old franchise, and I felt the same way with that show as I did with this movie. It made me feel like a kid again. It gave me everything I wanted, and it didn't hold back, but I also want more. And I really think that for that, it's a 0.5 for me. I know that's a low fucking score, but nostalgia alone carries us over the threshold for me. And the nostalgia... I will say this. Hollywood needs to learn that they cannot have a movie or a show only on nostalgia. But if you use it as a backbone with a fresh story, Peaches is the one who usually gets captured. We're going to switch it up. We're going to have Luigi get captured. We're going to have Peach be a hero. She's going to go after Luigi. We didn't even talk about that. That whole change, that dynamic change, it was off-putting. I loved it. It was fantastic. That's the way to do it. It's a way to change it just enough where it's fresh and new and fantastic. So for me, sorry to be so long.
Very long.
It's a 0.5. And there we
well
go.
Well said.
So Jeremiah, when we take those scores and divide by four, what
Jeremiah
does that,
won't know. Jeremy, did you keep score, Jeremy?
Did you give a two, Jeremy? Calculator?
Yeah, I'm not going to know about this part. I'm just waiting for it to put the list.
I'm sorry.
Here.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Ed. Eddie, when you take those scores and you combine by four, what does Super Mario get an average rating?
It gives us a 1.0625.
1.0625.
Means it's a little bit above a happy.
That's a freaking
buzz.
Great score.
No, yeah, a Feel Good First Child.
You know, though, Sean, I know we're done talking about it, but I want to just highlight though something that Sean said that I think applies to this. And that is when you don't have a lot of movies that are of this quality, this caliber, it makes them pop even more. Is this movie really that great? I don't know if it is, but in the surrounding films that we have nowadays, I think that this shines. And I think that, Sean, you said it really, really well. So I just wanted to highlight that and say thanks for articulating what I think it is for
me. Thank you. Yeah. So, Jeremiah, where does that put us on the list of films that we reviewed?
Well, this is pretty interesting. This is number 16.
Too high. It's too high.
Eighth on our list.
So what is?
Yeah, no, this is number 16th on our list. Actually,
what is better? What is better than Super Mario Brothers?
Jaws, Breakfast Club, The Departed, Shining, Gladiator, Spider-Man: No Way Home.
I'm okay with that. Yes,
true. All true. What is worse than Super Mario Brothers?
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Ferris Bueller's Days Off, American Graffiti, Alien, Elf.
I personally, signs. Yeah. I mean, it depends what type of genre you're looking for.
I mean, in the animated spectrum, I think this is one of the better entries. I think it's a little high.
It goes both ways. Five, it goes both ways here, okay? Because I gave it a two because I actually enjoy the shit out of it. But then if I probably watch it again, I'll probably give it even a lower score. You know, like, oh, it's actually really fucking great, you know?
All right. If you enjoyed our review or a fan of the podcast, we ask that you please subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can find us on Instagram at the.gentlemanpodcast. The dot means a lot. You can visit our website at thegentlemanpodcast.com. And we would love to hear from you by email at hosts with an S, H-O-S-T-S, at thegentlemanpodcast.com. Please write in with what you like, what you don't like, what you, you know, just read us to filth. I don't care. I want to hear from anyone
an opinion.
Who has, you know, anything to say about the, about the podcast.
Yeah, and also, if you have any connections to Nintendo or anything, just go ahead and share our podcast.
Drop us a line. Too.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Jeremiah, what do we have coming up next week? Do we have anything that we can divulge?
We got a lot of shit coming out next week. We got a lot of shit coming out in the next few weeks. We got a lot of things that are happening during the summertime. Tuned. You need to stick around, actually.
I'm not going to give you any hints. That's what you're saying.
We're going to be doing our favorite summer movies, but we're also going to be doing some movies in the theater coming soon. We're going to be getting pepped up for our TV show that's going to be happening in the summer. We got so much shit lined up for you.
Yeah.
We have a lot of cool things happening, okay?
All right, guys. Well, cheers, and we will see you next week for our latest entry. Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers, everyone.